It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley are here. Lots to talk about. The strange tale of the Surface Hub. We'll talk about springing forward and melting back, mobile madness, and cloudy with a chance of snow in the Azure data center regions. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 561, recorded Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. Leprechaun Mosh Pit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news. Oh, did I record this? Yes, I did. Okay, just checking. If you're listening to this, I recorded it, right? Right? That would mean I recorded it. Paul Theroux is here. He's been through a few missteps. Did we ever erase a Windows Weekly and make you do it again? I don't think so.
No. But it's funny. You know what's funny about what just happened is you routinely handle the time zone change thing with no problem. Like daylight savings comes and goes, no problem. And then we started talking about like a week, 2 months from now, and you're completely flustered.
What's going on? And I think that was a little over-optimistic of you saying I handle it with no problem. That is not the case.
Compared to how I handle it.
Mary Jo Foley's also here. She's from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul's from Theroux.com. How did you handle the time change, Mary Jo?
Medium well.
Medium.
You know, the problem is pets. My cat is
they
not,
don't know
obviously.
About daylight.
He's not attuned
time.
To the daylight savings
well,
time.
Okay, the interesting thing about that, though, is I think they're more attuned just to the light, right?
They are.
So yep. In the mornings, it's probably not as much of a problem because it's darker later.
Yeah, except when you have to get up at a set time and he's like, what are you getting up for?
Yeah.
It's dark.
Yeah, I was complaining about my dog before the show, but the dog refuses to go outside now in the morning.
Oh.
At the normal, you know, because it's dark and it's 32 right. degrees well, or whatever.
The dog's no fool. He's a smart dog. Yep.
Well, I don't
is
know.
Is this dog smart. A new dog? Or no, this
yeah,
is
we,
newish.
We just got it back in November, or I guess December.
Yeah. So he doesn't know he's not wily to the ways.
Well, I don't know. It's the thing with the dog is we have cats. So that's been very interesting. There's been a lot of back and forth.
They're getting along though? Okay. Because Lisa, we have two cats and Lisa, actually we have three, but one is kind of a outdoor gone feral cat. But Lisa wants a dog, but she's reluctant to get one if it's going to disrupt the ecosystem.
It does, but honestly, we've only had this animal for, 3 months, I guess. I'm surprised at how fast they've gotten used to each other.
Yeah.
The cats were isolated up in the upstairs for a month or two, and then one of them finally said, you know what? This is my house. I'm coming downstairs.
Good.
And she faces down the dog. She's a tiny little cat.
As she should.
And she also goes up to the dog. It's really messed up. Like, the dog will be sleeping, and she gets up on two legs, and she, you know, the dog's on the couch. And they touch noses, and the dog kind of jerks up. You know?
Yeah.
And then the cat just walks away. Like,
Just got you again.
Just reminding you I'm here.
Got you again.
Oh, were you asleep? Sorry about that.
Oh, is that little doggy still asleep? Oh, little doggy.
Yeah.
Cats are
devious. Yeah.
Evil would be even more appropriate.
Guys.
No, they are. You know what?
No, they
Mary
are.
Mary Jo, they are. You know you.
They're cute.
You know Sriracha as adorable as he is, if he were your size, he'd have eaten you by now.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, if you die in that bed, I'm gonna eat for a
breakfast.
Month.
Yep. Here comes breakfast.
You know, with no remorse whatsoever.
Yeah,
no
that's problem. True.
Not at all. Anyway. what were we talking about? I'm completely discombobulated. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. I'm still waiting on my WOA, Windows on ARM laptop. Mike B., one of our chatters, he used to be our mod. He likes to needle me. He keeps just saying, it's just Windows RT. It's just Windows RT. It's just Windows RT.
Wow.
It's not Windows RT.
It's not. You could make that case for Windows XS in a way, but Windows 10 on ARM is just Windows 10.
It's not. Can I run? I can't run 64-bit apps though. Or can
not
I?
Not yet.
No.
No, not yet. But
not yet.
But you can run desktop applications. You can't do that in standard.
So when I'm running Chrome, I'll be running the 32-bit version of Chrome.
That's right.
And is it in emulation of x86?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
So it's going to be. So it's a slow processor to begin with, a Snapdragon 835, mm-hmm. which is not slow for a phone, but it's slow for.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, we need to.
I don't know.
I'm very interested to see how this works out. I mean,
Me too.
I want to be open-eyed about it, but we've gotten to a very interesting place when a phone processor can emulate a desktop chip,
right,
and run mm-hmm. that software. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
Well, they've been saying for some time these are desktop class processors now on our phones. Mm. You know?
Yeah, and it sounded like talk, and then now we're going to find out.
Well, we'll find. That's really the reason I got this.
Yeah.
Speed, battery life. Uh-oh, Bixby said hello. Sorry, I just got a new Samsung phone, and Bixby's very, you know.
Hi, Leo, it's Bixby. Hey. Remember me?
I don't do
anything
yet. I'm like Siri,
but I have a different name.
But I'm learning. I can't do anything useful yet, but I'm learning.
Does he say that? I'm learning.
He does.
He, she.
He.
Because Cortana says that, as we know.
I'm learning. You know,
tells me not to be mean.
We were talking about this on yesterday on iOS Today. I think the real problem with all of these, and this is actually comes from the guy who started Siri, and then now is at Samsung. He created Viv, and Samsung bought them.
Viv.
Viv.ai.
Their tagline should have been, "You haven't lived until you've lived."
Paul, you're a wordsmith. Yeah, I imagine Viv will become a friend of Bixby's. Oh, Lord. But the idea is, he says, the problem really is that we've oversold these voice assistants. If we're acting as if they're like, you know, Scarlett Johansson and her, like they're intelligent. And there's no, it's a mistake to use the word intelligence with these things.
But they are learning. I mean, you know, and this week.
And laughing.
I wasn't gonna talk.
Don't forget, they're laughing.
And laughing.
Too.
You're laughing. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, laughing like insane people.
Yeah.
Which is great. We have a HAL 9000 thing going on with Alexa now. But, you know, Google released finally the first version of these routines, which is like multi-command, I guess they call it multi-action routines, like, you know, like scripts, basically. And I've been looking forward to this for a long time. But, you know, the basic first version of this is exactly what you just said. It's just not as smart as, you know, I think we're hoping for yet. And I sort of like the notion that I can get up in the morning and say, hey, you know, gee, good, you know, good morning, and lights come on, the coffee maker turns on, the, you know, whatever happens, happens. And it, you know, it does some of that, and it's just, but it's real basic, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. So we're still in the Mosaic Netscape part of the, the journey, you know, it will get there.
Yeah. Or, you know, the Atari 400 journey.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a mistake. You know, he says, you know, when we created Siri, we really were thinking of it more as like a concierge that would help you make appointments and stuff, not an artificial intelligence. Or
yeah, it's like, what if we walked ourselves into here,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
But that is not what we have gathered to speak of. No, no, my friends. You came here to learn about Surface Hub 2 and the future of meetings. What? What's that all about?
Did you ever get a Surface Hub, Leo?
No.
I forgot if you ever got one.
It was too
expensive. The big screen multi.
Well, guess what? You're not getting one now either.
Oh.
That's the problem.
So what's the deal?
Well, Microsoft's starting to tease about V2 of the Surface Hub. So the first one came out in 2016.
It was really expensive, right?
Yeah. Expensive, like multiple thousands of dollars.
$20,000, depending on the version.
And I think, as I remember, the reason I didn't get it is because it seemed like it wasn't, like I thought it would be a Windows PC.
No. Well, actually, the reason you probably didn't get it is because they literally have never been available.
Oh.
Right.
Well,
they're impossible to
protected
buy.
Me from myself.
Yeah. they've had tons of inventory issues with these things. Like, I think you guys, Paul and Brad, had one back ordered for months, right?
Oh, you ordered one. Yep. Nice.
Yeah, we tried to get the small ones. And
did you ever get them or never?
No. Yep.
But I remember Microsoft saying that they had some actually significant penetration.
They did.
But it was a big one.
Okay,
right?
So that's That's that to me is the most amazing part of the story. And you're going to give that statistic they provided, that amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so end of 2016, they told us they had 2,000 customers with Surface Hub pre-orders, quote, in the pipeline. This week, they said they've got more than 5,000 customers for Surface Hub.
Okay, but check this one out. The Surface Hub is, according to Microsoft, its best-selling Surface device to the biggest enterprise customers that they have.
What does that even mean?
You got to parse that. In other words, buying the laptop or something. I don't know.
They're not buying PCs from Microsoft. They're buying PCs probably from Dell or HP or whatever. But in those biggest companies, they actually sell more Surface Hubs than they do Surface PCs.
That seems suspect.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just a messenger.
<'Cause>, okay, if they've sold 5,000.
I know. Well, 5,000.
Well, no, so 5,000 customers, okay, so who may have bought one or two each, maybe. Mm-hmm. Although some may have bought more than that. Yeah. Still, you would think if a big company, say Ford, GM, is ordering Surface hardware from Microsoft, they're not ordering like one or two laptops, right?
Well, I think the point is they're not ordering any, right? I think what they're really saying is that the biggest companies on Earth are still buying PCs. I mean, they don't mean it this way, but this is what it says. They're still buying PCs from established PC makers, you know, because those companies have they have business specific models. They have business specific licensing. They have business tools and a whole infrastructure set up for that kind of thing. Microsoft is kind of doing the Apple thing, right? We're for business. Sure we are. But they go through resellers and things like that. I think Surface devices are super desirable. I just think, you know, if you're going to deploy 27,000 seats or something, you're not buying a $3,000 Surface for everybody. You know, you're buying a Dell.
Right.
HP or whatever.
Mm. They did also say, didn't they also say something like, or somebody said, half of all Fortune 500s have at least one Surface Hub?
Yeah, I remember something like that, too.
Like data points from this meeting.
So I'm confused.
Me too. So, I'm confused by that stat. Yeah.
So it's the little one that they never had, maybe?
They never had either model. There's a 54. That's why this whole thing is bizarre, right?
Well, it's like, I don't get it.
There was a 54-inch model and an 80-something-inch model, and neither one was ever in stock, right? Like, people couldn't get either one of them.
Yeah. Yep. So this is part of the announcement, right?
So they're telling people now, like, we're going to tell you more about Surface Hub 2 sometime in the first half of this calendar year. They're not saying they're going to ship them in the first half of this calendar year. They're not even saying they're going to ship them in the second half of this calendar year, though.
It's almost, they did not say this. They would not confirm this when I asked, but certainly by the first half of this year, what they really mean is build. They've always discussed Surface Hub at Build. I think they've always discussed it. I expect Build to be the location for this.
Really?
The time frame, right? Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So,
because you know what other conference there is that I wondered about? They have this big SharePoint conference in Vegas in May. And in some ways, that also would be an interesting venue to tie this to, right? Because
I agree, right? Surface, because part of this announcement is Teams and all that stuff. Yeah. The reason I think it's going to be a Build is that I believe what they will be doing at Build is talking about the next version of Windows 10, the one for the fall, and the next version of the Surface Hub software will be based on that. And it's kind of the right time frame to put this in front of developers. It doesn't mean they couldn't do both, by the way. I mean, that makes tons of sense.
Yeah, so they didn't tell us anything pretty much about this next Surface Hub. They didn't tell us how much it would cost. They didn't tell us anything like what kind of models they'll be, what it'll cost, where it'll be, you know.
It's like getting on a waiting list for a pre-order. And sometime in the future, we're going to discuss a thing that we're going to be able to sell even later in the future.
Yeah.
And we're just here today to tell you that.
Although a day after they told us this cryptic statement, they then made an announcement about the next version of Teams, Microsoft Teams, which is their Slack competitor. And they told us there's going to be a version of Teams that works on Surface Hub, like optimized for Surface Hub, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that kind of tips their hand too, right? In a way to this being like part of their modern workplace productivity set of kind of products and services, right?
Yep.
Because when they talked about the next version of Teams, they did get more specific about the things that we'll be able to do around meetings. So they said it'll have cloud recording, giving you one-click meeting recordings with automatic transcription. There'll be automatic translation. Cortana will be integrated so that you can use that with IP phones and conference room devices. So they gave us a lot of details on Teams.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think at least part of the centerpiece of the next hub will be. It'll be set up to be like the ultimate platform for Teams.
Yeah. And it still very much targets those biggest of companies when you think about it. I mean, the types of companies that have kind of a mixed collaboration need. You're going to have some people in the meeting room, some people remote. You need some, you know, maybe the remote person is the one giving a presentation at one point. And you need to put it up on a screen and, you know, and interact with it and stuff. I mean, it's those companies that are supposedly buying more Surface Hubs than other Surface devices are those companies, right? I mean, it makes sense that this is where they've seen success with this device. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they're kind of pushing that element of it even harder with the next version.
Yeah, I remember I talked about this a little on Windows Weekly back last summer, but they did this podcast last year about productivity. It was like a series of podcasts about the future. And I just happened to tune into one of them, and it was about how AI will make meetings less painful. And when it didn't have any video, it just was audio. But it talked a lot about Cortana in the conference room, and it talked about,
she's in the room. It's like such a bad idea. Why did the lights go out?
But I feel like they were foreshadowing what they're going to do with Teams here, and also with Surface Hub. Right?
There
like
is a service which is kind of cool that that takes notes on your meetings. I mean, I haven't used it.
Yeah.
Notion is this an intelligent assistant that listens and makes notes. So
this
Cortana
is going to be
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be like Cortana saying to you, hey, you just had a meeting about blah with these people. Should I distribute the notes to these people?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Right. That'd be if it really works like that, it'd be pretty awesome. Right.
Yeah.
Well, as we pointed out at the top of the show, it rarely works out the way
it
that
does.
They describe it.
I know.
Yeah. It would be nice. This is obviously going to be a big AI push year, you know,
for Microsoft. Yep. But back to your idea about build, because this you also have some good points about that, because the Walking Cat's been talking a lot about he thinks Surface Hub is going to be the first place where we see Microsoft C shell show up, you know, which is the composable shell stuff.
Okay.
Like he's seen some references to things about journaling and a couple other things that are part of C shell that. Hmm. Makes me think you could be right about build, because that would be a perfect place to talk about what does C shell mean for the future of Windows? What does Polaris mean for the future of Windows? How are we building Windows 10, Redstone 5? What's that going to look like? And how are these different pieces going to play across the device family? So,
you know,
build also would be good.
Yeah, and to kind of build on that, pardon the pun, the Surface Hub operating system, which I don't think really has a name, I was told by Microsoft was most closely aligned with Windows Mobile, not with Windows 10 for desktops, the way that they built it or the way that it's structured or whatever. And when you think forward to this stuff, Polaris, Composable Shell, Andromeda, and so forth, you know, the presumption has been that this is going to be some kind of a mobile platform that would be something like Windows Mobile, but not Windows Mobile, obviously. And we kind of, you know, you talk down that path because it makes sense. So I guess on that note, it would make further sense that if they are, that stuff would maybe be pushed to Surface Hub first, because that is kind of how that system's built.
Yeah.
You know, that it might be the easiest. There's no way to easily test it on a Windows Mobile device, because those things have gone, you know, they're gone basically. And, look, we have this thing out in the field and people are actually using it. And, you know, maybe this is a good way to test that system before we have whatever the new device is.
Plus, I remember when Google announced Jamboard, which is kind of like their equivalent to the Surface Hub, They showed people using it with phones, right? So you'd come into a meeting, you'd have a phone, and the phone would work with the hub device, and you could get the meetings and move things off your phone to the Jamboard and all that. What if that's Andromeda plus Surface Hub, right? That's where this makes even more sense, that you have to talk about these two things at the same time. It's almost like the ultimate continuum system would be Andromeda plus Surface Hub.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting if they actually go that route. Maybe. Maybe. I do hope, you know what, I really hope they talk about this stuff at Build, because so far they've been really pitching Build as cloud AI kind of a show, and that's all well and good, but people who go to the Build are Windows developers, and that's what they are. So
there needs to be a component of that. They've done a good job recently of communicating what's coming in this next version of Windows 10 for developers. There's actually some stuff, you know, a lot of these versions, I kind of wonder what the point is, but this time, honestly, there is some pretty good innovation there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they need this. They need a bigger story for the near future than to the cloud. You know, it's got to. They need hooks for these guys for mobile, for web development, progressive web apps. You know, they need to advance the app platform if they're serious about it, which I doubt. But supposedly, I mean, there's. I don't know. There's a lot to do, and. They just announced a bunch of stuff. It's weird. One of the big announcements they had recently was new ways to bring modern technologies to legacy Windows APIs, Win32.net, Windows Forms. I mean, it was like this roll call of stuff that I'd kind of even forgotten it existed in some ways, which, you know, I think is logical. I mean, a lot of that code is out in the world, and those guys have shown zero sign of moving any of it forward to UWP. So, you know, smart. But, you know, certainly there would be more to do along those lines as well, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Paul, I have to ask you about one other story.
Okay, it's the movies and TV thing, isn't it?
No, it's the Office apps getting dictation thing.
Yeah.
What?
I'm actually really excited about this.
That seems good. Okay. I use dictation a lot.
So, okay, Windows already has built-in dictation, right?
Right. It does.
I know, because a couple people said to me yesterday on Twitter, they're like, you know, Windows already has dictation capabilities. But this week, Microsoft tweeted, hey, we're starting to test with Office Insiders dictation built into the latest version of Office, so Office 2016, Word, PowerPoint, OneNote. And so I started asking people, I'm like, wait, so this is a whole different dictation system they're building into Office, not the one that's in Windows, right? And somebody else said, doesn't even use the same technology underneath. It's totally different.
I can't look because my settings app is crashed. But I had two reactions. The first one was like, How is it that it's 2018 and this hasn't happened yet?
Yeah.
And the second one was, imagine if they had tried to do this 10 or 20 years ago, the antitrust action would have been so swift. True. It just never could have happened. But Microsoft, has done a pretty good job with this real legacy software and putting more and more features into it at a point where I think most of us would have thought there's no way.
Yeah,
and this is one that makes tons of sense. I mean, it's a good idea.
I mean, it's so I dug a little more into it. And so to test this, you have to be an Office Insider. You have to have Office 2016 apps.
Did you go through this? Did you actually try to do this?
No, I didn't, because I'm not an Office Insider. It only works on Windows Desktop. So you may have to be a Windows Insider and an Office Insider. I'm not sure. But what it uses underneath is this technology called Dictate. And Dictate is something that used to be a Microsoft Garage project that they have now commercialized, and they're building this into Office. And so one of the guys from Dictate said to me on Twitter, this is it. This is we're building into Office. It'll be baked right in. And it's the same engine that powers Cortana. So now this starts to make a little more sense, right? You're like, oh, okay, so there's going to be commonality with Cortana and Office dictation. That's good. But then what happens to Windows dictation? So I asked this guy that, and he said, I can't answer Windows Roadmap questions.
Right. Well, but this goes back to the this came up on a podcast within the past month or two. Cortana is not part of Windows from a Microsoft organizational standpoint, right? That's right. So there's a team that's not under Terry Myerson that was working on Cortana technologies.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put it into Windows, but it's a different thing. And I think that's why this is happening.
Yeah, me too.
You know. Right. I mean, so I would imagine that the Cortana / Office dictation technologies will eventually be much more sophisticated, or will right away be more sophisticated than what Windows does.
Me too. Yep.
And that makes sense, by the way, because, you know, for the operating system, a lot of it's for navigational purposes. You're using the system with your voice. Right.
Right.
If you want something more sophisticated, like I'm going to write a letter or whatever in Microsoft Word, that solution itself would probably have to be more sophisticated and tailored for that type of task.
Yeah.
And why would Windows do that?
Yeah, true. Yeah, so I just found it very interesting how low-key their announcement of this was. It was like a tweet from Office Insiders. It's like, hey, guess what? You can start testing dictation in the Office apps now. I'm like, wait, is this the announcement?
No. Well, remember, I mean, I don't know what the exact schedule is. No one does. You need like a Rosetta Stone to figure this stuff out. But there's some schedule where it hits Office Insider fast in this case. It would be amazing if being on the Windows Insider program was part of the matrix. And then this is slow. And then, you know, it eventually goes out to production. And when it goes out to production, you have to be on Office 365, by the way, because you're not getting this feature if you just bought the the product.
Right.
So there's a whole, you know,
there are a lot of caveats.
Cycle that occurs. Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that maybe in June or July or something, there'll be a Kirk post where here's the stuff that we added to Office, and that will be one of them.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it now because it hit the Insider program first.
Yeah. You know, they mentioned it in like one line in January when they were talking about new features they were adding to Office for students. And they said, and guess what? We're adding dictation to Office. And it was just like dropped into the thing like that. And I was like, wait, there's nothing more.
Oh,
on
so
it,
part of that bed announcement. You mean the bed announcement. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like an all hands kind of thing. I think it was probably sent out an email. Like, what do you guys have that could brush by education in any small way?
It could be cool if it works. You know, another one of these, if it works,
would be great. 20 years ago, I thought this was going to be my future. I was convinced that I was going to get carpal tunnel syndrome. There was no way I was going to be able to write.
I know.
And that I would have to talk. And I tried, IBM stuff. I tried
actually
the,
did it.
Dragon stuff.
I stopped writing and I just talk.
Well, I don't worry about it.
Well, by the way, software.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, everyone knows this, right? This is a 50-year-old guy giving kids tips. But like you can, you know, there's a little microphone icon in the mobile keyboard on your phone, right? You can just talk. Yeah. So if you want to send a text message, you can talk.
Really?
But I found it to be like a time saver in other like places. Like, so I use like Duolingo to do language learning. And sometimes you have to type in fairly long sentences in English, and you could actually get it wrong by having a typo.
I know.
Even though you know exactly what it says.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. Yeah.
I don't want to type in English, so I just say it now. You know, it's actually really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you talk about the composable C#, or do we just skip right
over
that?
We whipped right through that.
Okay, I missed it. It got me excited, then I realized it wasn't what I thought it was.
No, it's not that C#.
Not that C#. Let's talk about melting back. Spring forward, melt back. I like it. Meltdown. Actually, this was a big deal, the Meltdown patch provided by Microsoft instead of by your motherboard.
Wasn't Meltdown a Tom Petty song?
Meltdown. Come on, take it. Don't let that specter get you through. I'm sorry.
It is now.
Microsoft's going to do this for Windows machines going how far back?
Windows 7.
That far back?
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah. I know. Well, I've had a lot of people ask me about that, too.
Yeah.
They're like, it's great. They're patching like Kaby Lake and all this, but in Windows 10. But like, are they going to put out the patch for 7 and 8.1? Yep. Yesterday.
Nice. Very nice.
It's in the Microsoft Update catalog. You can actually go get that.
Is that including the microcode patch they're doing as well? That's the big deal to me because
it's Intel firmware.
Yeah, so it is. It's the microchip patch. That's great.
Yeah. Nice. Someone asked me via email if Microsoft was going to just kind of include this in Windows. It was under the impression that somehow, you know, the next version of Windows would come out. It would ship with this kind of microcode update. I'm like, I don't think that's how this works. Like, this is a, you know, very machine specific for one thing.
Right. That's true.
I mean, it's the type of thing you would probably get, you know, maybe through Windows Update when you first boot it up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you want to get the latest version all the time. I don't think baking something like this into the OS makes tons of sense since it's going to change fairly regularly anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's good news. Are we getting close
to... And they also removed the antivirus check thing too in yesterday's update.
Interesting.
Right. So the point being
I haven't been following this closely enough to know, like, is it permanently removed, the antivirus check?
I would guess all the antiviruses are patched at this point.
I think that, I think the issue is there were certain, and most of them were like kind of off-brand kind of AV programs that were using APIs that had been deprecated or never even documented, and they've told these guys not to use those. And they basically are saying, look, we're not supporting this, and they keep using it, so they're blocking those things from like you basically have to upgrade or
well the patch is causing a boot loop on some of these because they were running into the
kernel. And I think it's tied to the AV how those AV things work.
Right, so they were supposed to set a registry key to say all fixed, go ahead.
That's what that's what the offending programs will do. They'll just set the registry key even though they're
all fixed, just go right ahead, we'll just be back here waiting for you to do that.
I have a feeling the story's never going to end.
Oh no, it's definitely not. And then there's a new one. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this with AMD.
Yeah,
AMD
one,
it's still unclear. You know, Steve yesterday tore down the whole show and started over so he could cover this. And all but there's a lot of question marks. I mean, it's a big problem. It affects.
It's a little early.
Ryzen processors. Yeah, but who knows what's really going on? This company, people aren't familiar with this as a security company. They gave 24 hours notice, which is not considered kosher.
Enough.
Right.
You know, almost 3 months, you know, which I'm sure left AMD scrambling like crazy. And I should check. I don't think they've, you know, they just said,
we're
looking into
it. Have they even publicly addressed it?
They just said, we're looking into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't publish proof of concept, although... some have claimed to have seen it privately, but that's kind of so. Until third parties go, yes, the proof of concept works.
Yeah,
but one of the problems is because it looks like AMD outsourced some of the chips on their system on a chip, like the USB chip, to a company. Was it ASM? And this company apparently left a back door, whether intentionally or accidentally.
Oh boy!
A big back door in their in the chips, which puts a black door in the system on a chip. Our power just went out in here, but I think we're gonna just. I'll continue until.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Did our power go out or? It flickered. Okay. Yeah, the lights are still on in the hall. Well, I don't think we have a UPS for these, but who knows?
Oh boy!
Yeah. Hey, you thought you had
our
bad weather.
Gets slower when it rains.
Yeah, it's raining like the Dickens out here in California.
Oh, I wish it was raining here.
Yeah, you got snow. So anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, this AMD thing. It's to be determined.
Early days. Did the CEO of AMD sell a bunch of shares around the time that they were privately told about this problem?
Yeah, no. So it'll be interesting to see. This could be this is at least as bad as Spectre and Meltdown. Just to cheer you up.
Well, I mean, no offense, but AMD kind of danced on Intel's grave when this happened.
And karma.
You got to be real careful about
this. The karma going to get you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Okay, moving on. Let's see. Redstone 4. Are we RTM'd yet? Are we getting to RTM?
No. Not yet.
Not even close.
Close?
Yeah. Rumors are next by next week.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Why do you say next week?
I've seen a couple of people who've been following like the MS Build feed saying it's supposed to be or on or around the 23rd. And
oh no, the reason I ask is Microsoft doesn't RTM anything anymore. I'm curious why you use this out of date term.
Because it actually still applies. Release to Muggles.
Maybe you didn't get
Have you
the
heard
memo,
about this?
Release to Muggles.
Windows is a service now, Mary Jo. And
they still have to release to Muggles.
That's right.
To Muggles.
Yep.
That doesn't RTM. Go away.
RTM, release to Muggles.
Yep.
But you know, I kind of thought they were getting very close. And last week, they were saying no known issues. And if there are any, we'll add them to the post. But then this week, they had a build yesterday. And what they did was very interesting. So they have a ton of issues around mixed reality. Like there are a lot of problems with mixed reality in the latest build. And instead of saying, hey, here are the known issues, they just said, we got some things going on with mixed reality. But there are no known issues with anything else. So I'm like, okay, they're setting it up for, we're going to RTM no matter what. Yeah, you know, okay. And we'll fix it later. Don't worry.
I wouldn't let mixed reality stop you.
No. In fact, one wonders who would even notice if this thing went out with that problem.
Oh, wow.
They had two builds last week that had no Microsoft Store app.
Right, which is kind of a big deal.
That's been fixed. So that's there. So
that's a bad build. Yeah. That get out the door. It's going to really make it hard to use my Windows 10S machine. That's for sure. Eddie, what does 10S look like in the Redstone in the newest Ford? Is it still a mode yet?
It's a mode. So the way it is in Redstone 4 is it is a mode. If you have Windows 10S and you upgrade, you're going to be turned into something called Windows 10 Pro in S mode.
Oh.
Which is what you've always been, but you just didn't know.
Yeah, no, I was in S mode. Is there
but the difference will be that it's going to be possible in the next six months or so to buy a new computer that has Windows 10 Home in S mode. So that's new. And then the upgrade will be free. Sorry, it's not an upgrade.
We're going to help you
demote it or whatever. It's like when you drop napalm on the forest to demodes it.
You know what? It's going to be funny to see how the lingo they do use for that, right? Because they don't like when people say, I upgraded from 10S
it's not,
to 10.
That's why, it's not an upgrade. It's a switch.
Moved. You moved.
You're switching the mode off.
Well, it'd be nice if I could switch it off. But, you know, it's not going to be that trivial because if I switch it on, this is what I'd really like. Switch it on, install Chrome. Switch it off.
Yeah, and switch it off. Thank you. Exactly.
That's what we can do on Mac OS without erasing Chrome. So on Mac OS, there's a button that says only install apps from the App Store. And then there's another button that says install apps from the App Store plus signed apps.
So here's what you can do, Leo. This is not – actually, I can't bring it up. It worked that time. Good. So in Windows 10 today, Windows 10 Pro, and this will be true –
on this X2,
the next version.
On this NV.
And I actually have my computer configured like this right now just to kind of see what it's like. The default is allow apps from anywhere. You can have it set up like Windows 10S where it's allow apps from the store only, and you'll get a dialog that says, nope, can't do it. But there's a third option that you don't get in S mode. It's called warn me before installing apps from outside the store. And the idea here is that you can bypass it. So if I try to install Chrome while this thing is enabled, I'll get the dialogue, but I can click on the bottom and say, yeah, no, it's okay. I really want to do this. And I don't think that kind of a blocker is such a bad idea. Just a little reminder, you're installing something from the internet. Are you sure you want to do this? But as the adult in this equation, I can say yes, you know. And I like you, what I would like to do is install the handful of apps I really do need from the desktop.
And then keep it in a safe mode.
And then put it in this mode. Yeah. Yes.
But are they going to let you do that? No, right?
Not until you switch to like the full Pro or whatever.
But I switched to Pro and then I can do your little thing.
Yeah, you can still do that if you want to.
Okay. Well, maybe I will.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good idea. This is a far more middle ground approach than what they're doing with S mode, but
it is.
Because remember when I turned off S mode on my laptop, Surface laptop, it erased Chrome.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I thought they would keep doing. I thought they were going
to
do that.
Which that's why it can't be a simple switch. If they want to do that, that's a big, you know, you have to kind of reboot and strip out stuff. And
it's already in Windows. I mean, they could do it right now. I don't understand why they're being so weird about this. But you know, we'll see. You know, look, 6 months is going to go by, 9 months, whatever it is. They're going to get all kinds of telemetry data about what people are doing with the mode. And, you know, but I have my expectations.
I'm still trying to decide if I should leave my X2 when it comes in S mode or not. There's a handful of things I really want to install, though, that I probably can't.
I think you should switch it immediately. And the reason is because the real question with this device is how well does it run those desktop apps?
Okay. And so I need to know that.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Which you can't do with XS.
That's fair.
Right. That's the only reason, because it's not because of, you know, my incredible bias against S mode. It's because it's
well known, well acknowledged all over the world. Yes.
No, it's because literally the open question about Windows on ARM is how does it run x86 apps? Yes. And you can run the built-in apps, but nobody cares how fast Paint runs. But we want to know if Photoshop Elements works. Okay. Well, actually, that's a startup. iTunes or Chrome or, you know, Firefox, whatever it might be. How does it work?
It's going to be Chrome for me. And then I have I do have a programming environment that I use that I'm going to install. And I can't think of a whole lot of things, but you know, what I have done is I've set up some benchmarks in the programming environment just to kind of see how benchmarks run.
Oh, that's cool. So that would be a great test.
Yeah. It'll give me an idea.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if it's really sluggish, I won't need any benchmark. And if I can't tell, the truth is, even
I only need a handful of apps myself. That's why I'm so weirded out by how hardline they are about it. Like, you know, Chrome and Markdown Pad. I would be done. Right. You know, just give me those two things.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. It's close.
Most people don't use a lot of different apps.
Well, but right.
They've tested the top, what they say the top 100 are, right? In this emulation mode, and they say something like 100.
On ARM, you mean?
They say they run fine, and or what do
they
say?
They run fine.
They run fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
How fast do you need it to be? You're on the go.
Well, I don't want to see the keys slowly enter as I type.
Yeah, you don't want it to be like Windows 286 when you could watch the menu like draw and then the lines would come across and then the words would fill in.
That would be bad. But I don't think it's going to be like that.
What is this, a fractal? What am I looking at? Like I'm going to watch the thing draw.
TweetDeck does that for me sometimes. Like you see it start painting the screen and you don't see the icons or pictures and then they start coming in slowly.
Facebook does this. You know, Facebook loads a blank version of its user interface where the words are just gray lines or whatever. And then it loads the live data. Yeah, I don't know. That must be their little environment called React Native or something.
Yeah, React.js, yeah.
Yeah, I bet that's what that is. I don't like it.
Well, get ready because React is a prime technology in portable web apps. If you got a portable web app, you're going to be looking at prime lines and stuff. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, that's good. Ooh.
Oh, man.
We're testing out a new coffee sponsor.
Oh, nice.
You know, is it coffee or is it like a latte type thing?
Well, it's a latte. But what's interesting is I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but we've been approached instead of by a company that, you know, like a big company that buys beans from a lot of people, by a family farm. I think in Costa Rica.
That's cool.
So we'd like to advertise our single, you know.
Our prince was recently deposed and we'd like to deposit some money into your coffee.
It kind of was like that. You think that's a scam?
No.
They sent us the coffee. It's delicious.
Wow.
Would you ever, I mean, you do that with a beer, I guess. Would you ever consider like a single variety, or what people do with wine?
Yeah, they have single hop variety all the time.
And they do it with wines.
We actually use, I don't remember what it's called, which is weird since I pay for it, but we use a coffee subscription service for my son in college.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Them like, that's probably something you know, we were advertising. Coffee. Yeah. We had Blue Bottle.
Yeah.
Blue Bottle.
I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah. That's a hip parent thing to do.
That is.
We're going to subscribe to some coffee for you.
No son of mine is going to Dunkin' Donuts, Leo.
You know what my boy subscribes to? It's the Meat of the Month Club. I'm not kidding you. He gets like meat in the mail.
My son is the meat of the
Oh, my goodness. But he did sign me up for a hot sauce club, and I'm happy about that. Wow. Man, I like hot sauce. That's become a real thing.
Have you seen sock clubs? I've just started seeing these.
Socks, yeah.
Yeah, Lisa where they gets, send you like a fancy pair every month. Yeah,
Lisa gets socks from a lady in Turkey. I think she's out of business now because she's a lady in Turkey. But she makes these socks that when you your feet are together, they make something like a tiger or, or Star Wars character.
It, does it also promote better posture because if you're standing that way, it's correct?
No, but you often, but it's more fun.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
I think it is the time change. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
I complimented you on this. What are you doing?
I don't know. You look like a fool.
Hey, I am excited. Chrome is getting native Windows 10 notifications.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed. Maybe you know this. Recently, I got a little prompt in Chrome, which I use for Google Calendar, right, and other things. It said, hey, you know, reset the app. The notifications are changing. Yeah. And they show you a little demo version.
Yeah, they say, here's what it's going to look like. It's cool.
So is that Google Calendar specific, or is that all of Chrome?
I got the Google Calendar one yesterday. I would guess it's all of Chrome.
Okay. So if you use Chrome, you know that today, like a web notification often will just appear right in the middle of the browser window or whatever.
Actually, I have seen that. They're over in the corner now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
At least maybe on the Google Mac. On the Mac.
Calendar just switched over to the new system. Well, anyway, I think it's an interesting data point for the success of Windows 10 that Google, who let's face it, doesn't have a lot of love for Microsoft, is actually going to adopt the Windows 10 native notification functionality in a coming release. So they're actually going to do this. So Chrome notifications will now look exactly like Windows 10 notifications of any kind, because they will be those notifications. They'll be in Action Center alongside your other notifications, that kind of thing.
I like that. They should do that. They're doing it on the Mac too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Make
great.
Them native. So, yeah. They should be native. Yeah. Yeah,
I there's a lot of things that should be. This is one of them.
This is one of them.
It'll be good.
Many things should be. This is one of them.
Yep.
Mobile madness. We got Paul and I both got
Mary Jo does the notes.
Yeah,
I know. She likes the madness. Headlines are corny.
Paul and I. Did you, Paul, get your Samsung Galaxy S9 from the Microsoft Edition store, or did
I
you
did not?
You got I you. Not. I got an unlocked one from Samsung. Is that what you did, or did you get it from your carrier? Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, do you know, because I couldn't find this on the site. It doesn't affect me, but I have people asking me, will the unlocked version work on Verizon, or is it GSM only?
No. It's got all the radios.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yes. I think that's the way to go. Just get the completely unlocked version. You could use it with anything.
Yeah, I like that. Although somebody called me the other day on the radio show and said, I got an unlocked version of a phone, and I put it on T-Mobile, and T-Mobile locked it. I said, I don't think that's even legal.
They locked it.
Well, and Verizon Verizon famously wasn't locked because that was the precondition that the FCC, the one that used to have a backbone, gave them when they gave them the spectrum.
Speaking of things that should be.
That used to have a backbone. They gave them the 700 megahertz spectrum, and so they said, but if we do that to you, you know, if we're going to give you that access, you need to have an unlocked SIM card on your LTE. Mm. And Verizon said yes, but now they're locking it again.
That's crazy.
Because they say, well, it's to prevent theft.
Theft.
So they're going to lock them in the truck. Okay, this is the story.
What?
They're going to lock them in the truck on the way. But at some point, they will be we're going to eventually unlock it just automatically for the consumer.
Yikes.
But they're getting stolen. I guess they're getting stolen off the truck.
Okay.
Yes. They want to make sure they're sold first. But they haven't been very clear on how soon they're going to unlock it for the consumer. Like,
I mean, if your phone is paid for,
it should never be
locked.
The
carrier should unlock that automatically.
I agree. because they have no reason.
Had okay success with that, to be honest. But
there's, well, FCC says they're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's one of the rules. But the problem is it didn't specify exactly how.
Oh, boy. These kind of things make me slightly stressed. I don't like this kind of thing.
Okay, let's stop talking about it.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I just, it bugs me that these companies can exert that kind of control. It's not right.
I agree.
Well, you could go to the Microsoft store and buy a Samsung Galaxy.
Now, what does that mean? Is it a signature phone? What is it? Is it a Microsoft edition? What is it?
So this is entertaining, at least to me it is. Remember last year when S8 came out, Microsoft started talking about there being a Microsoft edition of that phone.
Right.
Then Samsung started calling different reporters and saying, you know, there's no such thing as a Microsoft edition of this phone. Right. They're just saying there is, but there isn't.
Oh, wow. That's cold.
That's harsh. So same thing is happening with S9. Microsoft, somebody, they never named the person. Someone from Microsoft told Trusted Reviews there's a Microsoft edition of the Galaxy S9, which means it comes preloaded with Cortana and OneNote and PowerPoint and Word, all these Microsoft apps. So when I asked Microsoft, they said, no, that's not true. If you go to the Microsoft store, an employee can customize the phone for you and preload these apps if you want them to do that.
Interesting.
But there's nothing called a Microsoft edition. And as soon as I wrote the story, Samsung PR emailed me and said, you know, there's no such thing as a Microsoft edition of this phone.
So in other words, it's exactly the same as it was last year.
It is the exact same thing, except you can't call it the Microsoft edition. It just means you can go up to a store employee and say, hey, could you put all these things in
Microsoftize this?
But that was literally how it worked last year. I mean, it's exactly the same.
Didn't we say a couple of weeks ago that there, like, there'll be a button on it that says download all the apps like that?
No, it's it
has to be done.
I don't think it's something that you as an end user can find. You're supposed to hand it to the Microsoft employee, and they probably just go to some URL or something, and it downloads the whole package. I think anyone who has that desire could probably figure out how to download Microsoft apps.
I was going to say, this is something to get Raphael on. See if he could figure it out.
What's that URL? Sniff a little network traffic in a Microsoft store. See what comes
in. A little bit. See what you smell. Smell home cooking.
Something does smell in here. And it's not a Microsoft edition.
But it's still kind of unusual, although it should be getting more usual, that you can go into a Microsoft store and buy an Android phone.
Yeah.
Good. And the S9, you know what? The S9 is going to be a big seller.
Yeah.
This is the direct competition to Apple. Since Microsoft doesn't have a phone.
Right. I think this is the only one that can compete with Apple on that level. I mean, it's got this whole design.
That's what Samsung thinks.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah.
You know, Leo, I don't use a Samsung, but if I did, it would be an S9.
I'm setting mine up right now. I decided to not do what I always do, which is install everything. So I'm just going one by one through stuff to just kind of see, do I really need Mobile Money by T-Mobile? No. Do I really need Hound Voice Search? No.
Do I really need my 70s folk playlist from Google Play Music?
No. Well,
maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, you have to decide on all of this stuff. I'm being judicious and conservative, not installing stuff. I can always install it later.
You can.
Yep. All right. Well, that's good. If you, that's really the only reason to go to the Microsoft store to get your S9 is because then you can hand it to them and they'll take it off.
There's no discount for doing
it. It's yet another way to get the phone.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. In addition to the 2 million other ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This phone is really, I mean, this is the power of Samsung. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And it's readily available.
It was not hard to get. It didn't have to wait in line or anything. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the unlocked one, you can get right away. You don't have to wait a month or whatever. And
yeah, I like that.
Does it cost like $800 or $1,000? Like, what's the price?
No, it starts at $720. And then that's for the smaller screen. And then the big screen, I think, is $840. Right, Paul?
Yep.
Depends.
It's less expensive than the iPhone 10. It's less expensive than the Pixel 2 XL.
And it's pretty. I mean, the folks at DisplayMate says it's the best screen we've ever seen. The camera score is the highest unified score DxOMark's ever given. But you know, in individual areas, other phones do better. It's really, it's just highly, it's a good competitive phone. And it has an emoji.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Did you make yours? Did you make yours
yet? Why have
I
not done that yet?
That's I want to see highlight. Both of yours. Right,
stop the show.
I'll do mine while you guys continue to talk.
Right. I'll talk about Outlook. How about that?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're somebody who's been using Outlook on the web mobile apps for iOS or Android, you need to know about what I'm about to tell you. Those apps are going away.
What?
Yes.
I just installed it.
No. So there's another Outlook app. For iOS and Android, which is the native Outlook app, the thing that came from Acompli.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you were using the thing that used to be called OWA,
Outlook
web app,
Those
are what's going away. And Microsoft put out a timetable last week saying starting in April, here's how we're going to start withdrawing support for these, and it's actually going to go totally away by mid-May. So you would think people would say, okay, well, I'd rather have the native app anyway.
Yeah, right.
But the native app doesn't have all the features that the OWA app does.
Oh.
And there are certain features that people are really up in arms about that aren't there. So the Outlook team is saying, don't worry, we're going to bring these features to the native apps. But they don't really say when. I think they say, we're going to try to get them all there by the end of calendar 2018. But there's quite a few, if you look at the table of features that aren't there that people are taking advantage of now, that they say they don't want to go without. So if you are in that boat and you are using some of these features that are going away because these apps are being discontinued, you can still use the web version of OWA. But that's all you can really do at this point.
So like what kind of features? I mean, user interface features or actual functional stuff?
Let's see. There are a bunch of features I saw in the list. Favorite folder list, renaming folders, view send mail from shared mailboxes. There's a whole lot of them.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Yeah,
yeah, there's like a whole list of features that aren't there in the native app.
A lot of functionality.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're on that app, you probably want to go with the web version and use it in the browser until Microsoft does manage to add it to the native version.
Yeah, at least you could do that.
You could do that.
Yeah.
And this just in, I don't know if Paul's seen this or not. Have you seen this?
I don't know.
I'll tell you. Hold on. Where did I just put it? The Outlook team just did a post, Outlook.com team, saying the new mail calendar and people experiences are coming to Outlook.com. So if you've been using the beta of Outlook.com, they're saying it's going to be coming to everyone in the next couple of weeks.
Where is this blog post?
Office.com blogs. Office blogs, yep. So here's what you can expect to see in Outlook.com in the coming weeks. And they talk about the new mail app, which we've been using in beta. I think all of three of us have been using this.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, the new calendar app is now going to be available to everyone. And then there's new people experiences that they're building in, so it's more tightly integrated with mail. And there's a lengthy blog post showing you all the ways that these features are going to be changing. Says, when will the new mail experiences show up? Quote, over the course of the next few weeks. So as we know from previous Outlook.com rollouts, that may be optimistic.
Yes, it might in fact be out in 2019 based on prior experience. Luckily, I really wish they would sync this thing up with the Office 365 commercial version. Because the problem with this thing is when you use it, and then you have to go back and use Outlook on the web or whatever they're calling it this week. It's the worst. It just has this really old-fashioned, you know, look to it. I think this thing looks beautiful. The new one's really nice.
It's really nice. Yep. And for a while, you couldn't undo, what was it called, conversation groups. But now you can in the beta, which is good because I don't like groups.
Actually, the big complaint I've heard on this, I don't know if it's this version, it might just be Outlook.com now, is you can't actually really configure junk mail in any good way, including the fact that you can't turn it off, which is kind of crazy.
It asks you to configure a folder, right? And then, or something like that. And then you try to configure it and it does some weird things. I just had that the other day.
I've heard from multiple people who have emails they get regularly that they cannot get Outlook.com to stop from junk mailing it. Yeah.
Or the reverse, like you want to get them to always junk mail it, and you can't get them to do
that. And it just keeps coming. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's ready. Yeah. Ship it.
Yeah. Yep. So coming soon. That's more Outlook news.
Okay. Well, that's good. They've been.
Yep.
When did this beta drop the first time?
It's been months. Or, I can't remember since when.
Yeah, last year sometime.
Yeah. Yep. So that's good. Hmm.
Oh, there's some good cloud stuff coming up. I can configure my Animoji or whatever we're calling it.
There's some good cloud stuff on the menu now, guys. Hold on to your hats.
Okay. Go right ahead, Mary Jo. Paul and I are Animojiing.
All right. Hey, no volume on your Animoji.
Hold on. Swipe up.
First up, Microsoft is adding more Azure regions. And if you're in Germany, Switzerland...
I can't even see it. God, stupid thing.
I can see it.
Yeah, that's too bright. Sorry. I'm trying. Oh, well.
It's going.
Please continue. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
Let me redo that. Microsoft's adding new Azure regions in Germany, Switzerland, and the United Arab Emirates. So for the first time, Microsoft's going to have data centers in the Middle East, in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. They're also going to have two new Swiss data centers, Geneva and Zurich, and they're adding two more regions in Germany. And if you remember, Germany is where they've done some creative things to try to keep data resident in the country and having a trustee administer it to get around some legal issues that they've been having in the U.S. around turning over data because of U.S. government regulations. So when are all these data centers and regions coming? We don't know. They won't give us a date. And they also won't tell us where the new ones are. Yeah. And they won't tell us where the new German ones are either. So I asked all those questions. But as of this announcement, Microsoft now has 50 Azure regions, which they say, and I believe is correct, that is the most of any cloud provider out there.
Yeah. By far, I think, actually.
Yeah. I think they sometimes say we have more than Google and Amazon combined.
Yeah. I've heard them say. Amazon has a surprisingly small number of these regions or whatever.
They do.
Although I assume that's going to change.
I would think. Yeah. I mean, it's not just good for data residency requirements, but it's also good because people would like to have their data stored more close to where they operate for performance reasons.
Right.
The other big cloud news this week.
Ooh, here we go.
Dynamics, guys, here we go. Finally. Remember, we've talked about this for so long, the service codename Tenerife, Microsoft Cloud ERP for SMBs. It's gone through a lot of iterations, but Microsoft announced this week, as of April 2nd, it's going to be rolling out finally through their cloud service solution provider channel to customers worldwide. So the name they chose for the final product name is very interesting. They're going to call this Dynamics 365 Business Central. Anyone else remember B Central?
Oh, boy.
Long ago service?
Yeah.
So they're using that name, kind of. They're calling this Business Central. And what this is cloud ERP. That's what it is. So there's finance and operations modules for this. It's mostly for small and mid-sized businesses. There's two plans. There's an Essentials plan for $70 per user per month, and a premium plan for $100 per user per month. That's about all I know. And believe me, it was like pulling teeth getting that much information about this. they're not real forthcoming about their Dynamics product announcements. They like to talk about digital transformation and customer wins, but they don't like to talk about the nuts and bolts of the product, which has made it challenging to cover Dynamics over the years. But yeah, this is finally rolling out. This is going to give them a nice solution to compete with people like NetSuite and people who are kind of on the lower end of SMB ERP solutions. You know, people say sometimes, what do you do after you outgrow QuickBooks? This is what Microsoft wants this to be. So as of April 2nd, starting to roll out.
So does this look like me?
That does look like you.
I need that hair on mine. My hair, it actually looks like Mike Elgin.
Well, that's actually a compliment. I'll take it. You can change some of the features here, I think. Yeah, you can change the hair color.
How do you actually make it? Do you have to take a picture of yourself?
Yeah, it does a selfie. So, Paul, you can change the hair color.
Go with purple.
I just meant the hairstyle.
Oh, the style. I know. I like the style. Should I go with, I don't think purple's an option.
You could put it on glasses.
What's the shirt say?
It says, Boundless? I don't know. It's not my shirt.
Yeah, no, mine has the same.
You can
change it. Oh, God, I'm wearing yellow shorts. And I'm sorry to say they're a little tight.
Short shorts.
This one says figure. Oh, they're talking about European. Well, good Lord, nobody dresses like that anymore. Oh, what is this, band leader? Oh, now I look like the guy in Cheap Trick. That's good. I'll get a little schoolboy cap. Oh, that's awesome. Good. A suit. Should I go with a suit? That's attractive.
Very distinguished.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a suit because I'm that kind of guy. Now I have.
They need a fez. You need a fez.
Oh, I need a technological advancement. And what are we doing with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Make creepy emojis.
Yeah.
Brian X. Chen said it was Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, kind of is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. It's, I think, the definition of uncanny. So right. Now
it doesn't look creepy.
No, it's not too bad.
Let's see yours.
I don't know. It's not yours. Great.
I don't know what you're supposed to do with it. Show us yours, Paul.
I get it up. How do you bring it up?
Go to the camera, and it's just there. And
that's on the camera.
Under the, I think you have to swipe to AR emoji on the camera.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it now, though. I mean, it's
yeah,
there.
But how do you bring it?
How do you bring it on the screen? No, I see what you're saying. I don't know. It's just there. Did you drag it? Oh, find a face. Oh, I get what it does. Yeah, that's attractive.
There you go.
There. Jeez, come on, Paul, figure this out.
Looks just like me.
There.
Oh, you're so cheerful.
Aw.
Yeah, it's just like me.
Yeah. AR emoji. Okay, so I get it now. See, when you do what you do is you do an AR selfie. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to look like me.
Oh.
Except I look like I lost my teeth.
They are so funny.
Ooh, this is creepy.
So, how is it?
Hello there, Paul. I've been meaning to talk to you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's creepy. And then I guess you can do other things with it. I don't know. Can you?
I don't quite understand. I don't know. Samsung's tough.
There's so much stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff in here.
It really is the anti-Apple in many ways, too.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But that's what people like. Some people like that, right? They want to customize everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of the most interesting things about those signature studies that I did for Microsoft. There's always some tiny percentage of people, like 5% or whatever, that liked the crapware because it was like they were getting more stuff for free.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that was their opinion. They weren't just okay with it. They preferred it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know. I guess those are the people that become hoarders now or something. I don't know.
Digital hoarders.
Yeah. Give me more stuff.
Oh, boy. So, I think it's fair enough that you've done your Azure thing.
That now, Mary Jo, you can configure
you
your
can
an
configure
emoji.
Your an configure AR emoji. While Paul does his Xbox thing.
I did not include my pet peeve Call of Duty story this week because I think it would be boring for most people.
No,
but
I
this
hear it. What?
So if you play Call of Duty, the latest version, there's like a St. Patrick's Day update that includes a new map that is kind of a classic, but done up with leprechauns and stuff.
Oh, that sounds horrible. St. Patrick's Day. Can you shoot the leprechauns at least?
I haven't played it yet. It does seem like you can. It's like it's called something like Leprechaun Hunt Mosh Pit.
Leprechaun Hunt. Now we're talking.
Wow.
Forget zombies and Nazis. I want to kill leprechauns.
Yeah, those little buggers. They're in the garden again.
They got all that gold. Yeah, that was the only good thing in that terrible Netflix movie, Bright. And even that was kind of horrific. Did you see that? The Will Smith?
No, I don't think so.
So it was Netflix
original.
So
with the alien partner guy.
Yeah, and he has his partner as an orc. And it's a very kind of thinly veiled is not the word. It's kind of
like
an over-obvious you know, story about racism, obviously, right? Because right. everybody hates the orcs, and you have an yeah. orc partner, and blah, blah, blah.
Hobgoblins are okay, but everyone hates it's, the it, orcs.
Well, you know what they really hate, and everybody agrees on this, is fairies. And and early in the movie, this is like every this is like the director or somebody thought this was really cute. Mm-hmm. Will Smith's wife gets mad at him because there's a fairy. They're more like rats. There's a fairy yeah. in the bird feeder. And so Will Smith goes, oh, she says, no, go kill it. You got to go kill it. Oh, man. So he goes out with like a tennis racket.
Does it look like the Tinkerbell fairy?
Yes.
Like that
kind of thing?
Oh, jeez. Like a girl, like with wings.
He kills it. He smushes it on the ground, and it's lying there like, ah. And it's horrific. And if a kid saw that, it would be yeah. damaging. And they it thought seems... this was cute. This is the worst right. movie. I've never seen a worse movie. Well, I have.
I saw
actually.
The trailer.
I've seen worse movies. But anyway, that's maybe what this is like on Call of Duty, where you can kill leprechauns.
Maybe. I hope so. It's a, that would be okay.
I'm just thinking. I'm just saying. All right. So there's your Call of Duty story.
Yeah. And then, so Microsoft, it's in many ways like the Surface Hub announcement, made kind of a vague announcement today about E3, which is the big gaming show.
Yeah.
And without, ooh, my picture froze. Oh, there it is. Without going into any detail at all, what they basically said was, we're going to take our main presence out of E3, which is held at the Los Angeles Convention Center, go across the street to the Microsoft Theater, which used to be the Nokia Theater. We're going to have it there instead. And they're doing it with the cooperation, I think they even said collaboration, of the company that runs E3. So it's not like a, you know, like a blindside type thing. And they're still going to have some presence in the main show with kind of a mixer booth or whatever. But, you know, it's really interesting that where E3 is, Microsoft happens to own this facility across the street. And they can kind of do their own thing now. So,
oh,
you know, all the big,
wow.
big companies all have their own events, obviously. But now they're doing the full deal out there. And I actually kind of wonder, they didn't say this, I don't think. But I'm not sure how open E3 is to the general public. But it wouldn't. Oh, is this the?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be. It wouldn't surprise me if
see, they shamrocks.
They let the yeah. general public come in. But where are the little
the green helmet? The little it's St. Patrick's Day version. Yeah. Where's the little guys? You know.
So every year, just
oh shamrock and awe.
Shamrock and awe.
Oh Lord.
I probably sent Mary Jo a screenshot a year ago because a year ago, they had a special St. Patrick's Day map for Modern Warfare Remastered that
yeah,
had like
you, did
you know. Beer and stuff, and it was, you know, yeah. it's I don't know why they're fixated on this holiday, but they always do like a winter slash Christmas thing, which is pretty cool, and that's actually still going because it's just Christmas or just winter now. Mm-hmm. But now they're switching over to the this I don't know, I can't explain this. All I can do is say that it's happening.
I don't think there's actually any leprechauns in it, Paul. I think
well no there's a special playlist or map or whatever that's I don't remember the exact name, but it literally has something to do with leprechauns. God, so this is shipment. This is a classic Call of Duty map they just brought back. But this has nothing to do with leprechauns.
Okay. New permanent items.
We'll see what it says. It will give us the name of the
leprechauns. I think you were just wishing there were leprechauns.
Mary Jo, when you see this, do you worry about our civilization when you actually,
I do.
Yeah. I do too.
This is what makes you worry about our civilization?
Well, one of many things.
Holy cow. Yeah. Well, you got a whole generation who's growing up has got a real familiarity with special weapons and tactics. Yep. I don't.
Not to mention a great love of St. Patrick's Day.
And St. Patrick's Day. The,
oh, boy.
Oh.
All right. Let me find the name of this thing. It's called,
I don't know,
Leprechaun Hunt Mosh Pit. It is a rotation of standard game modes.
I don't have that. I apparently don't have that.
I think that's for the people who use Call of Duty the most. They're the only ones who get this.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you can hunt leprechauns in this, I'm interested.
In a mosh pit.
Anything. Anything you can do, I can do that.
I don't know. Okay.
And then,
but anyway.
This you saw this rumor that Google's going to get into this thing, this cloud-based.
No, it's not a rumor. They announced it.
It's official.
Yeah, so it's not really clear what their role is going to be. This is like basically an open source, I would call it a de facto standard for game makers who want to have multiplayer experiences online to do this at scale, right? Because if you know, think about it. If you're Activision or E3, you have your own servers, you do your own thing, you have that infrastructure and capacity. If you're one of the smaller game makers, you know, like, how do you do this? And so one of the things I've been talking about over the past, I don't know, 3-6 months is this notion that Microsoft has a great future in gaming because of their ability to host games in the cloud, stream them to users on any device, and do that at scale. And when you look at the traditional console competitors today, Sony and Nintendo, you know, they just don't have this infrastructure. And my kind of line about it was, you know, who could possibly compete with Microsoft at this level? Well, Google could. And
I have two things to say about this. One, that these guys are the cloud platform is a sponsor of some of our shows. And two, you can set up a Minecraft server on Google Compute Engine.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. Like, it's sure what that would be one use of it.
Look how serious this paper is, too.
I know,
yes,
I
know. Your this Minecraft server will run on a Compute Engine instance. Wow.
So you know, we'll see how this develops. Yeah. We'll see how this develops. Yeah. But actually, they're doing it in partnership. It's going to be open source. It's they're working on it with Ubisoft, which is the company that makes Assassin's Creed and many other games. Yeah. So it's a major publisher, or maybe a mid-level publisher or whatever, but a big company. Yeah. And
I see others. You know, this Rovio, Epic, EA are also.
Oh, EA's involved, yeah.
Well,
so
somehow.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Nice.
And, you know, a potential threat to Microsoft's, you know,
they call
perceived
it
future dominance.
You know, Google's always talking about scaling to the next billion. They call it scaling to the next billion players.
Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the third world needs. Shamrocks. Yep.
Yeah, hunt the leprechauns. Hunt the leprechauns. I know you're hungry, but this will take your mind off that.
Jeez. Okay. Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? It's going to be a vicious battle between Microsoft, Google, and Amazon. And really, it's Amazon that's the king in this. Right.
Yeah. Google and Amazon both, I think, are a little different, very different from Microsoft in this capacity because they don't really. Well, no, Google owns or Amazon owns Twitch. I was going to say they don't really have a foot in this market, but actually, Amazon does. So, Google as the Loki character in this story is like throwing a grenade in the room because they, you know, they always do this. Like, oh, is Microsoft making something? Let's make one of those. You know. So, you know, Amazon owns Twitch. So actually,
that's right. Amazon's big in this.
Yeah, maybe they do have a stake there. That's
a little tiny
bigger,
bit.
Just screwing over Microsoft.
Little tiny. Oh, they want to screw over everybody. Hey, puppy. Come on, more barking.
I'm gonna fix this.
More barking. Just put him in a leprechaun outfit. Let nature take its course. All right.
Choke collar and let nature take its course.
Mm. Training. You know what? You got to get dog training. I see so many dog owners who don't do the training.
We've actually done dog training.
Yeah. With this dog?
She's regressing, though, with the barking thing.
Dog training is really about training the owners.
Yes. Yeah, you might want to get used to barking, Paul.
Yeah.
I think
it's
worth it. I'll be
$100. All right. Time to get to the back of the book, and we'll start with you, Paul, the tip of the week.
Speaking of Twitch and Amazon, Twitch, I think it was, announced today that if you are an Amazon Prime customer, and tons of people are, you can get free access to Twitch Prime and also to a lot of new perks, including free games and free in-game items as well. And this is really speaks to a very unique advantage that Amazon has over anyone they might compete with, which is that they can combine perks that are both digital and physical, right? And so Amazon Prime obviously is this way you get physical goods delivered to your house typically in 2 days. And it has a slew of perks that many of which are digital, you know, cloud storage, photo things, music things, video service, on and on it goes. And so this is another one. They're tying it into their gaming service, which is that Twitch service that Microsoft, by the way, is trying to compete with a Mixer. I think it's called, I forget the name of it, but the name of it is very similar to the name of Microsoft's Games with Gold. It's like Games with Prime, I think is the name of it. It's like,
wow.
Sounds familiar. Yes. So anyway, that's an interesting development. One that will perhaps be more interesting to the Microsoft focused people in the audience is that Microsoft has a service called Movies and TV. As its name suggests, you can buy TV shows and movies. You can rent movies. I have really recommended strongly people not buy content from this service because it only works on Windows 10 and Xbox One. There's no mobile client. There's no web client. There's no way to get it onto a TV other than an Xbox One or Miracast or whatever. And worse, it doesn't integrate with this service called Movies Anywhere, which started as a Disney service, but now involves most of the major movie studios and all of the major online video services, Apple's, Google's, you know, whatever, there's a bunch of them. Amazon is actually in there. Microsoft is the one that isn't in there. So I get questions from people a lot. Will there ever be an Android or iOS client for movies and TV? Will Microsoft ever become part of Movies Anywhere? So I asked from time to time. I asked this past week, and I got the answer back. On the mobile client thing, they have no comment. They have nothing to say to that. But on Movies Anywhere, they are, in fact, talking to Disney about being added to that service. And that would actually be huge. Because if you're not familiar with Movies Anywhere, the idea here is that if you bought movies from Apple and you bought movies from Amazon and you bought movies from Google and you bought movies from Microsoft, as long as those movies are in a support, were made by a studio that's part of the system, and most of them are, those movies will now show up everywhere. So I could buy a movie from Apple and I could watch it on the Microsoft app on my Windows 10 computer, for example. This also solves another problem if this happens, and I think it's going to, which is the mobile app issue, right? There are Movies Anywhere mobile apps available on these platforms. So we don't need a movies and TV app anymore to some degree, because most of the content you have bought will be available through the Movies Anywhere app. So cross your fingers, and we'll see what happens. I still don't recommend buying content from Microsoft, but on a Windows 10 PC, because it is a store app, it's actually a really efficient way to watch those movies from a battery life perspective. So you could buy a movie from, say, Apple, and if the studio supported, and again, I'd say about 2/3 of the movies I purchased from Apple are available. You could watch it in the Microsoft app. You could save battery life, because we all know iTunes is a pig on Windows. So anyway, just something to look out for, possibly coming down the pike soon. And then the app pick of the week is Microsoft Pix for iPhone. This is an app that's been out since at least last year. It's been available for some time. It began life as a alternative to the built-in camera app on the iPhone, and it offered some kind of camera-like features that were, you know, better than what Apple was doing, which is fine. You know, 16:9 support, probably things like that. But over time, what they've been doing is adding AI features to it, right, in keeping with their current marketing push. But this actually started last year, so. The big update they had last summer was that painterly effect, like Prisma, where you could take a photo and then it would turn it into like a watercolor painting or a sketch or whatever. Really, really cool stuff. more recently, they've been adding AI type features that do things like recognize what the object is, and you can scan things with it and do all that kind of stuff. But now what they have is they've taken it to the next step, which is they're taking that functionality and integrating it with LinkedIn. So if you take a photo with this app of a business card, it can upload the contents of that card to a new contact or an existing contact that you might have in LinkedIn. So it's kind of a neat integration between various Microsoft products and services as well.
Very nice. Very nice.
And now I'm going to go play with Animoji.
And kid leprechauns, because Mary Jo Foley has her enterprise pick of the week.
Yes, so my enterprise pick of the week is a roadmap site that was pointed out to me by someone named Mark Morozinski, who's a PM on Azure Active Directory. So this, if you go to aka.ms/breakglass, you'll get to see what I'm talking about. It's a documentation article with a really boring title, Securing Privileged Access for Hybrid Cloud Deployments in Azure AD. What this really is a step-by-step roadmap and description by Microsoft of how to lock down your administrator access in the modern world. It's really good. And because, you know, in the old days, you just say, okay, just lock down your network, right? And then you can't get hacked. Those days are gone. People are bringing their own devices into the workplace. You've got all kinds of software as a service. This thing is amazing. This is a bunch of guidance, prescriptive guidance. And the reason it's called break glass is because it tells you what to do in an emergency if something happens and how you should be set up as an organization to basically head off being having your IT centralized access broken, right? An emergency break glass, you know that whole thing? So that's why this is called break glass. So it's free. You can go look at this and digest it. There's it's multiple parts. It's about what to do over multiple months to actually secure your IT privileges if you're using Azure Active Directory. And again, it's aka.ms/breakglass, all one word.
Is there anything like this for other Microsoft users? I'd love to see one just for Windows users.
Frankly. I know. They've got a link in the beginning for using on-premises network privileges, I believe, just using Active Directory by itself, not Azure Active Directory. But I don't know if they have this for other products.
Yeah. There must be.
Steve Gibson might be interested in this.
Yeah, I'll mention this to him. Somebody asked about this when we were at South by Southwest because we were talking about security and I said, you could go to the NSA. Believe it or not, the NSA has a whole bunch of guides for securing a variety of operating systems.
Do they have any mobile apps, though?
Well, it's funny because the NSA it has kind of, in some ways, contradictory missions. I mean, their overarching goal is to make America safer, right? And one of the ways to do it is to secure our cyber infrastructure. So at the same time as they're developing, you know, attacks and hacks to break into other countries' cyber infrastructure and sometimes inadvertently releasing them to the bad guys so they can attack us. They're also telling us how to be more safe. But I would love to see Microsoft tackle something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. This is awesome.
Very handy.
And it looks, the reason they spread it out is there's a lot of information because there's a lot of links out to other stuff. And this is really fantastic. Makes me want to just put everything on Azure.
But is it as good as a leprechaun mosh pit?
Yes, Paul, it is.
Maybe.
Yes,
maybe.
Paul, it is.
I'm not an expert, but.
Yes, Paul, it is. And now, enterprise pick, duh, part great. Duh.
Or something completely different from the last pick. If you are a HoloLens user and you've been thinking about, hey, you know what I really like to do in my HoloLens? I'd like to look at some business analytics reports.
Oh, you bet.
You now can.
You have no idea.
Power BI for Mixed Reality is an app available in preview in the Microsoft Store right now. And you can use this on your HoloLens to look at analytics and business intelligence data inside the HoloLens environment. So my first impression when I saw this was, who would want to do that and why? But they actually make a case for this. They say, if you're a first-line worker, say you're an elevator repair guy, right? And you're out, you've got some kind of a HoloLens-type device on, you're fixing the elevator, and you want to see a report about how many failures like this ever happened before. You can call up your Power BI dashboard and look at it with a gesture or with your voice and use it inside
like
of the HoloLens. Like a Jedi. Exactly. They should have called it something cool like Jedi BI.
This is not the data you're looking for.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And there's another feature that also is kind of weird. Like, but then when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, so if you wanted to put a QR code in your physical environment and you had the HoloLens on and you looked at the QR code, it could call up the report that was connected with that QR code right away and have it in your field of vision inside the HoloLens.
Neato.
So you know what I liked about this? I like that they're thinking about business case uses again for the HoloLens because I felt like they kind of started out with that and then they kind of went astray. They were getting into all the entertainment stuff and, you know, that's fun and cool, but that's not going to pay the bills. What's going to pay the bills are the business applications. Yep. And so I think it's interesting they're kind of coming back to the business fold with Power BI for mixed reality.
If I could do a quick report on the state of leprechaun hunting, I just wanted to point out that there is some kind of a creature in the game.
You're playing it
now. I had to know what was going on with this thing.
Yeah.
And it says that a mysterious creature has appeared a couple times now, but I've never seen the creature.
You don't see it.
So I don't know. I need to see the creature.
I think you need a HoloLens to see the creature.
Yes, that's correct. In AR or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
No, no.
You know,
it's all one big family. Mosh pits of leprechauns and parabia.
I wanted to know why Mary Jo Foley drinks.
Yes, now you do know.
It's these two guys right here.
Yep.
I think we should have some beer. What do you say, Mary Jo?
I think so, especially given this weekend is what? St. Patrick's Day.
Now, do you go down to the local brewery and sample, or is it green beer time and you just stay out?
This is like amateur hour, guys.
It is.
Yeah.
This is not a good day to be drinking.
Oh, wait.
It is. It's not a good day to be out.
And in New York, they paint Fifth Avenue. They paint a green stripe down it, and they have a big parade. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's a good day to stay indoors.
Yeah. A lot of drunks out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
People but luckily, really because... they don't drink every day, so they don't really...
But luckily, guys, you don't have to drink Guinness. Guinness isn't bad, but you don't have to drink Guinness on St. Patrick's Day because a lot of craft breweries now are making really great dry Irish stouts, same style as Guinness, you know, kind of a lighter stout, lower alcohol, actually, despite the dark color. And one of them comes from Baltimore, Maryland, Duclaw Brewing, Celtic Fury. I think this is what you drink when you're shooting leprechauns on a mosh pit.
You need this, Paul.
I like it. I'm feeling some Celtic Fury right now.
I've got It's only 5.5%. Oh, right. Nice.
Guinness is only 4-something. People always think Guinness. Whoa. Right?
Yeah, people assume Guinness is lots of calories and high in alcohol, but it's not.
It's lots of calories and not high in alcohol.
Right.
No. These Irish stouts, these dry Irish stouts, they're meant to be very light, so you can drink a lot of them. And I haven't actually had this one myself, but I've had a lot of the Duclaw Brewing beers, and I've liked them all. So I'm hoping I get to try this one sometime this weekend, though not on St. Patrick's Day at a bar in New York.
That's awesome.
Yeah, geez.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you guys
have a wonderful Saturday.
It's going to be a great, great day.
Are we going to have daylight savings again this weekend? Leo, what's going on?
Let's do it again.
It's my Hulk Hogan mustache.
You look just like him.
Now you can make another emoji.
I should see what happens when you do it this way. You look like this, or maybe... a guy you meet on the street who used to have a part in Lion King and just couldn't get all the makeup off, or I don't know. It's just another mustache.
There's a 70s movie happening. I don't know.
Guys, I just have to read a testimonial on Twitter right now. Someone who's watching the show.
Yeah.
I love Windows Weekly, but my favorite part is Mary Jo Foley's beer tip of the week.
Me too.
I didn't even write that.
Me too. My favorite part. The only thing I don't like about it is it means the show is over.
That's true.
I hate that part. We do Windows Weekly on Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Now 1800 UTC. Thank you. Thank you very much. 1800 UTC. If you want to tune in and watch live, you can at twit.tv/live. You can also, if you're going to do that, be in the chat room because lots of lovely people in there. That irc.twit.tv.
See that what you just did right there? That's actually what I originally meant by the daylight savings thing. That you handle this transition.
Oh, I do.
The timing.
Well, I did the math.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my head.
No, that's good.
We're UTC minus 7. So contrary to your intuition, that means you add 7.
Leo. We've been doing this show for about a million years, and you probably have said that sentence every single episode, and I still have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what that means.
Okay, if anybody uses the UTC time, let me know. Otherwise, I'll stop.
No, I'm not complaining.
No, people ask us for it. They do.
Yeah.
It's important that somebody knows this. It's not going to be me.
Yeah.
We're at 1,100 hours UTC minus 7 when we do this show, give or take.
And again, it went right. It's like a
you have
a squeegee going through my head.
Yeah,
like
I UTC block.
I heard it happen, but now I already forget it.
You know what's funny is that UTC stands for Universal Coordinated Time.
Yes, it does.
That makes me chuckle. If you can't watch live, we make an on-demand version. If you can't figure out what time that is. And I wouldn't blame
just wait till Thursday.
Wait till Thursday. Yeah. There will be a version at twit.tv/WW actually by the later today, by later Wednesday. And also, if you subscribe, you don't even think about that. It just appears magically on your brand new purple phone, and you will have a copy of that show.
Did you get a case for it already?
I always pre-order one of these rubberized TPU cases. Well, because these are glass backs. They're going to break easily. You know, I did it, my S6, day one, it was in my pocket and it was so slippery, it just flew out of my pocket and hit the cement and cracked, a little crack. And I thought, I don't want to have that happen again. So, what else? I guess that's about it. I thank you all for listening. And I hope you come back next week. And don't forget, Microsoft Build.
Everyone's listening except for Paul. Paul still has no idea what UTC means.
Build is coming up. We've been talking about it, and I think we're going to be able to broadcast that day. So we'll let you know as we get closer. That's next month, but we'll probably do a show on that Monday.
Hmm. We'll probably do a meetup in Seattle.
Will you? Yeah. And we will live stream the keynote, because I know... You and I are the only people bullish on progressive web apps. The rest of the world thinks, oh, we've seen this all before.
Really?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm bullish, too. I want it to be true. Yeah. I really do.
I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And so that's probably what they're going to be talking about. And we
hope.
Yeah.
You are a fan of Windows 10S, and I know you are.
Who isn't?
This is the thing that could make the platform make sense.
Look at that S mode go.
Yep.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.